Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hurkun gokı trap sonsun trap sonsun trap sonsun trap donsun trap donsun trap donsun Tuni sonsun hukçum dur bulan Dağda stoltan dur bulan moru da
Hey everybody, what's up? It's Adam Hunter. I am talking to you from Chattanooga, Tennessee, doing shows at the Comedy Catch all week, tomorrow, tonight, as well as Sunday. And we got a great podcast for you because I like having you guys listen to me talk to amazing fighters. We got Anthony Smith on, Lionheart, who's just on a huge tear. He knocked out Rashad Evans, knocked out Shogun, is fighting Volkan coming up in a five-round main event from Canada. And we're going to talk to Rachel Blaze, who's a ring girl and a model who has some problems with her boobs. So she'll explain all about that. But listen, Santa Cruz Medicinals makes potent lab-tested CBD formulas. Their 1,000 milligram CBD-infused coconut oil is amazing. You can add it to your coffee, to your shakes, or use topically to reduce inflammation. I'm telling you, the facts are this stuff helps you. Their 1,000 milligram olive oil is amazing to add to recipes and can make any recipe CBD-infused. My wife made this amazing dish the other day. We had chicken, we had all kinds of stuff, and she put the CBD olive oil on it, and it tasted great. I felt great, and I'm telling you, I'm in a lot of pain a lot of times. I train, I do wrestling, I do jiu-jitsu, I do Muay Thai, and I'm 40 years old. I'm not like I used to be. I'm not a spring chicken. I can't recover as fast as I could once when I was wrestling in high school. So instead, I take CBD, and it helps me so much. Their products are gluten-free, they're sugar-free, lab-tested, and affordable. Just use MMA Roasted as your code. You get $5 off. Where can you pick it up? At scmedicinals.com. That's scmedicinals.com. Check it out. I highly recommend them. I put the CBD oil in my coffee, and my day is so much better. I'm more relaxed. I'm more calm. I feel better. I'm more focused. Life is good. Also, people, marijuana is legal in California, and there's no reason you should have to leave your house to get it. No, just go to speedweed.com. Go to @speedweed, follow them. They have everything. They have marijuana, they have vape, they have flowers. I had marijuana beef jerky the other day. It was delicious because I love beef jerky, and I love getting high when I eat beef jerky. They have all kinds of CBD. They have anything you need. They got it. They have THC sex lube. Me and my wife, we get high while having sex, which is, and then we get even higher because we use the THC sex lube. It's amazing. I'm telling you, it's, just check them out. Go to speedweed.com, mention the code ROASTED. You get $10 off, $100 or more. They will come right to you. Don't leave. They'll come to you. Speedweed. They're amazing. I cannot recommend them enough. Check them out. All right, let's talk to Anthony Lionheart Smith. Okay, so we're calling Anthony Smith right now. Anthony Lionheart Smith, who's on a killer winning streak. Hello? Anthony Smith. Hello, this is Anthony Smith. Good, how you doing, man? Good, congrats on the streak, man. You beat up Rashad Evans, then you beat up Shogun. Is Liddell versus Ortiz next? What's going on? All right, I think he hung up. Hey, Anthony Smith, how are you, man?
Good, man. Sorry, I must have lost it.
No, so I was saying, man, you're on this big streak. You're beating up the legends. You beat Rashad, then you beat Shogun. Do you want the winner of Chuck versus Tito?
Yeah, right. No, man, I just fight whoever they put in front of me, and fortunately it's been, you know, a couple pretty big names that's really helping me out.
No, it's been great, man. Would you rather, like, you go out there and just get the job early, take no damage, Or would you, or do you prefer those like 3-round slugfests?
You know, to be honest with you, I would rather avoid any slugfests at all possible.
But, yeah.
You know, I'm down for whatever. I'm down for whatever. You know, of course, I'd rather get in and get out as quickly as possible. But,
Yeah, man. Well, it was awesome.
Sorry,
I don't even think Shogun actually is up yet. I think he's still knocked out. I mean, you're just fucking wrecking people. You're fighting Volkan next, right?
Yeah, fighting Volkan Ozdemir October 27th in Moncton, Canada.
Wow. All right. Now, have you fought in Canada before?
No, I've never even been to Canada before.
Well, nice. Oh, you're going to love it, dude. People are so nice in Canada. So nice.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited just to check out a new place and kind of get in front of a new culture and a new group of people, man. I'm excited for it.
No, I'm excited for you, man, because, I mean, we had you on this show back when you were in the Victory Fighting Championship when you just, you know, were fighting Josh Neer. And now, like, you're pretty much, I think, one fight away from a title shot.
I think so. You know, and I was actually going to say that at the beginning, man. I appreciate you always having me on and you know, always kind of following the journey along with, you know, man. I appreciate it. But, yeah, it's crazy to think about just that, you know, as long as I can go in there and do what I think I'm going to do to Volkan, I don't think that there's anything else I'd have to do to get a title shot. You know, you beat the number two dude, you know, the guy that's number one, you know, for whatever reason, isn't competing that often and has already fought for the title. So I think I'm a fresh face, you know, and I don't want to be the guy that says that I deserve anything, but I don't know what more they want me to do.
No, I think that you're an exciting fighter. Now, Volkan has serious power in his hands. I mean, the guys he's knocked out, you look at Jimmy Manoa, a couple other guys that look really good before fighting him, and he puts them to sleep. You got serious power as well. But it looked like Cormier kind of, I wouldn't say exposed him, but just laid out the foundation to beating him. Are you watching the Cormier fight and kind of studying that, or are you just going to do your thing?
You know, the things that I take from the Cormier fight is nothing physical. You know, I think at this point in the game, everybody's got power. And I think that Shogun is probably a more powerful puncher than Volkan is. I think that, you know, Hector Lombard was probably a more powerful puncher than Volkan is. At this point, I don't think that, you know, Volkan hangs his hat on that. Like, I'm a really powerful guy. Like, who fucking cares? Like, everybody's powerful at this point. Like, what happens when that doesn't work? Like, what are you going to do? You know, I know he's got every plan in the world to come out and think that he's so powerful that he's just going to knock me out. And what happens when that doesn't happen? And I think that's exactly what you've seen in the Cormier fight. He doesn't have a backup plan. He's very limited in his mental capacity to deal with adversity. You know, and in the one time that he was in a bad situation in a fight, he broke and he curled up in a little ball. And I just mentally, I seen a lot of holes in his game. I already feel like the physical part of it doesn't even matter because mentally I'll break him.
But it seems also wrestling seemed to be kind of his weakness as well. Are you going to focus on your wrestling
for sure.
With this?
Absolutely. You know, I've always had a really good wrestling and ground game. I don't know for whatever reason. I guess I just haven't found the right opponent to be able to really open up that wrinkle in my game. But I think that I honestly would imagine that Volkan's going to be the one that's going to be playing the clinch game more so than me.
Right.
And I think that I really think that that's because he. It's that mental capacity for adversity. Like he knows that I'm just as powerful, if not more, than him. And I think he knows that I'm technically the better striker. So I mean, I really think he's going to play the same game that he played with OSP. He's going to try to take some heat off of me a little bit by pushing me up against the fence, and I'm cool with that. But if I was to put money on it, I bet that he initiates the clinch battle before I do.
It also seems that you get better in the third round. Like, I don't think you've ever lost a third round in your entire career. I mean, you've lost a lot of first round, a second round, but the third round, and this is a 5-round fight. So that's got to play into your favor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, a lot of people, you know, obviously don't like the whole five-round, you know, atmosphere of a fight, but I really, really enjoy it. I feel like it gives me a lot more time, and I don't have to stress out so much in the first and the second round. You know, like, so what if I, you know, if I start slow and you know, whatever happens and I'm down a couple rounds, you know, if they're just real close, you know, so what? I still have three left, you know? So I really enjoy the five-round atmosphere for sure.
Now, are we training? We're training in Omaha again for this fight?
I've done part of it here, and then I'll do 4 weeks, the last 4 weeks in Denver. I've already done a week and a half in Denver already, so I'm kind of back and forth a little bit, bouncing back and forth.
Now, are there guys that you're bringing in to kind of emulate what Volkan's going to do?
Yeah, there is.
Nice. So you got.
I'm going to do a lot of sparring with. To be honest with you, I'm going to do a lot of sparring with Curtis Blaydes.
Oh,
so
wow.
Me and him are going to get some, and it kind of works for both of us. You know, Francis is a long, tall striker, and so am I. So it kind of works for the both of us, you know, and it just gets another big body on me. And you know, he's in Colorado. You know, we got a lot of close connections with each other, so we might as well just get ready together. And then there's a guy that Stipe uses that we're bringing in. And I think that's it. It's just those two guys.
Do you think your chin's gotten better at 205 than it was at 85?
I don't know. I haven't been punched yet.
That's true.
I don't think anyone's landed a strike to my head since I've been at 205.
It just seems like some of these tall guys, like you and James Vick, and some of the other guys that like cut 20, 25, 30, 35 pounds. Seems like they don't have enough time to get the water back in their head. So it's like...
I agree.
It seems like you'd be better off at this higher weight.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that, you know, a guy like James Vick, I do think he'd be a lot better at 170, but, you know...
Yeah.
Who am I, you know? No,
1,000%. 1,000%. Now, you got three daughters. I just got a new daughter. She's a month old. How do I get her to sleep at night?
You just gotta wait that shit out, dog. there's really nothing you can do about that. It's just, you know, my first two daughters were really good sleepers, so they, you know, they'd wake up in the middle of the night and they'd eat, you know, they'd get on some boob and get full up, and then they'd sleep again for another 4 hours, and that was decent. But our last baby, she was a terror, man. She's a 12. She's 14 months old, so just over a year, and she still is a pain in the ass through the
man.
Night. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it just depends. But at a month old, that's expected. It's going to be a little bit still.
I always like pick her up and I'm like, time for some titty. And then I just fucking put her into my wife's, like, I like airplane her with an open mouth into my wife's nipple. I'm like, it's titty time.
How's everything else going with that?
Good. She's healthy. She's fun. I hate being on the road. Like, right now I'm in Tennessee doing comedy. And I just miss her. I've never wanted to stay home. I usually never turn down gigs. I'm always like, sure, where? Oh, a gig in Omaha, $20 and fucking tacos, I'm in. But now I'm just like, how much does it pay? Yeah, I don't know. You know, just because I don't want to be away from like my daughter. You know, like, I just don't want to be away from
terrible,
her.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. It's a crazy feeling. Like, it's a crazy feeling to love someone so much and just want to be around another thing so much, and I found that it, you know, my relationship grew so much stronger with Michaela after we had kids, that you know, like, that's the person that made that thing, you know. It's
yeah.
a crazy deal.
No, 100%. And it's like my wife, I think me being away from the wife for like a week or so helps our relationship, but with the baby, mm-hmm. it's different. I'm like, I could be away from the wife for a week and like, I think we're both just sick of each other. The baby, I'm just like,
right.
I'm just like, no, I'm not sick of her at all. I'm just like, bring her back.
Yeah. No. And then, well, and, you know, my kids are far from grown. You know, my oldest is, you know, going to be 7 soon, but I haven't got sick of them yet. So
yeah,
I don't think that's ever going to change either, man. And getting and leaving them just never gets any easier. You know, as they get older, they, you know, they get into a better routine of you being gone. But that almost hurts a little bit more that they deal with it better than you will.
I don't even mind changing diapers. I have fun with it. I'm like, it's okay. Everybody poops. I poop. Your mom poops. I mean, I like, here she poops. You know, I'm always like trying to have fun with her. I'm like, fuck it. I'm like, your mom's going to give me a blowjob as soon as you go to bed. I'm like telling her shit like this because she doesn't know what I'm saying. Like, I have so much fun with this kid. We're like dancing.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I love the. She doesn't know what I'm saying, so I just say like the most like funniest shit. I'm like, your mom's friends are a bunch of stupid bitches, but your mom's hot. You know, I just say stupid things like that just to fuck with her. But yeah, I love it. I love it. You know, it's hard on the wife, and plus, like, you know, she had to get like, you know, we haven't had sex in a while because it just. It took like a month after she had sex. I mean, and then while she was pregnant, I hated having sex.
Right.
I felt like I was getting too close to the baby. I don't want her first words being "me too." You know, I just felt like I was just too. But
oh, that is hilarious.
So the fight tomorrow night, Woodley or Till?
Yes, sir.
Who do you have?
I'm gonna go with Woodley. I'm gonna go with Woodley, and honestly, I'm a bigger fan of Till. In his fight style, I really like Darren Till's attitude. I love his mindset. I love how he approaches the game. He's exciting. He's powerful. I really, really am a huge fan of that guy. But I just don't think Tyron Woodley's going in looking for a fight. He can talk all the shit he wants, but we all know what Tyron's good at, and he's good at breaking people down and avoiding an actual fight. I think Darren Till's going in for a barn burner, and Tyron Woodley's going to be smart, and he's going to do what he's got to do to keep his title. And I don't want that to sound like I'm trash talking him, but it, you know, I don't exactly like to watch it. But I mean, he's the one getting those fat checks and a gold belt, so who am I to knock it? But I just don't enjoy watching it.
And don't you think that Till hasn't like faced a wrestler like Woodley? People forget that Woodley is a 4-time All American wrestler, has got a great double leg, great blast double, strong guy.
Right.
I kind of think I could see him just holding him down for a lot of the fight.
Absolutely, and. Honestly, that's probably what's going to happen. And even if he can't take him down, which I don't see him having a hard time doing, unfortunately, but even the threat of a takedown is enough. I mean, it really opens up everything else. If Darren Till wants to walk, he wants to march forward across the cage and start, you know, throwing hammers. And if he thinks that Tyron Woodley has the ability to take him down, that's going to make him hesitate to fight the way that he wants to fight. So, you know, I think that it's going to be a very similar fight to, like, your Stephen Thompson versus Till, Stephen Thompson versus Till and Thompson versus Tyron. I think it's going to be this weird chess match, and no one's, you know, one guy's going to fight like they're afraid, and the other one's going to be happy that he is.
Yeah, I actually wrote Woodley was a pound over, but then lost it by taking the chip off his shoulder. And
that's part of my issue with Woodley too, man. I don't have any problem with him. Like, I don't dislike Tyron Woodley, but I do dislike listening to him talk. He's just like, come on, man. Like, what are you bitching about? You're the champion of the world. You got a job with Fox. You had a great wrestling career. You're royalty at the University of Missouri. You're a young, black, athletic, good-looking guy. Like, what the fuck are you complaining about all the time? Like, and if he feels slighted and that's how he motivates himself or whatever, that's cool. But, you know, from a fucking half-black kid that lives in Nebraska that got made fun of his whole life and struggled and limped his way through the game, like, I don't want to listen to you complain, you know?
Yeah, I understand. But I also think that's, like what you said, that's what motivates him. I think if he starts feeling like he's made it, he's worried maybe he's going to be complacent, and then he'll start losing. I think certain people need that, you know, they need that.
I agree.
That attitude. Now, I mean, like I said, I was reading about you again today. I didn't realize you dropped out of high school. That must. How hard was that on your mom?
Exactly. On my mom?
Yeah.
She struggled a lot. You know, I wasn't a very good kid, you know, like I never treated anybody bad or disrespect anybody. I wasn't out robbing and stealing, and you know, I wasn't doing that shit, but I was out partying my balls off and didn't give a shit about school. And once I got kicked off the wrestling team, that was kind of my whole world. So there was no reason for me to be in school anymore. And so dropping out was the least of her worries at that point in my life.
Why did you get kicked off the wrestling team?
It was just some stupid shit with the coach. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but essentially it was partying and getting in trouble.
Right. Well, I mean, look where you are now, man. I mean, for a guy who dropped out of high school and, like you said, you know, coming from nothing, and now you're ranked number what, like 8 in the world, and you got 3 kids and a beautiful wife. I mean, you really should be proud of yourself. Not complacent, but very proud of yourself, man.
I try not to look back too much. You know, I try to keep my eyes focused forward. But every once in a while, it's all right to just kind of peek in the rearview mirror and just remember where you came from and remember where you don't want to go again.
Absolutely. That's, sure. That's how I am. That's how my wife's always like, why do you work so hard? I'm like, because I remember like having to look through my couches for change to pay for food. You know, and I remember like having negative $980 in my account and having to like ask and beg and borrow from my friends and stuff. So I never want to have to go back there. I think some people that don't have that, they don't realize how fucked up it is and how much they don't want to go back there. You know?
Right. No, I'll never go back. You know, I tell this story once in a while. You know, people ask what motivates me and like, kind of like you said, like, why do you work so goddamn hard? And I remember, my wife being eight and a half months pregnant, and we had no money, like zero fucking dollars. Like I was still fighting, but it wasn't doing very well at the time. And we had to like use change to buy stuff for spaghetti because spaghetti's pretty cheap and you can you can eat off of it for a while. But we had no money like to even eat. And I was too embarrassed to even go in with her to buy the spaghetti with change. So I sent in my 8 and a half month pregnant girlfriend at the time to go buy spaghetti so that we can eat. And I wasn't even man enough to go with her and do it. And like, that's the shit I think about. I'll never go back to that shit. That will never, ever fucking happen.
That's why you're so good though, man. That's why like in the third round, when you're down 2 ounces, nothing, all of a sudden you're throwing these crazy elbows that people are still not even waking up from. Brandon Davis versus right. Zabit. I like Brandon Davis. He beats a lot of guys that I don't think he's going to beat, but Zabit is a killer, a straight killer.
He is. He is, man. I think there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to have a lot of problems with him, especially Davis coming in short notice too, right?
Yep.
Didn't have that. Zabit's a hard dude to beat on a full training camp. I mean, I don't know. I just see that being a really tall task. Coming in short notice.
Jessica Andrade versus Carolina Kowalczyk. Who do you like that one?
Carolina. I'm going to go with Carolina. I think that she had one of the closest fights with Joanna that anyone had other than Rose. So I think that she's a really, really good straight. Didn't Carolina beat Joanna in like a kickboxing match when they were amateurs?
Yes.
Or when they were before they fought MMA?
Yep.
I just think she's going to be long and be a sniper and you know, kind of do exactly what Joanna did to Andrade.
Yeah, Andrade is like a little Anderson Silva, but she has no plan B.
No. She's like the female John Lineker.
Yeah. Yeah. Either she knocks you out or she gets confused. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. You know that guy? He's fighting.
What was that fight?
Abdul Razak Al-Hassan versus Nico Price.
I think Nico Price.
Yeah.
Al-Hassan's pretty tough, but Nico Price is kind of coming into his own a little bit. He's seemed to figure his stride out.
Carla Esparza versus
crafty.
Tatiana Suarez.
I'm going to go with Carla.
Really?
I'm going to go with Carla. And I don't think a lot of people are probably going to pick Carla, but I really think that – I think Carla beat Claudia Gadelha. I thought she won that fight.
She definitely hurt her.
Carla's kind of similar to, you know, like – like no one really gives her a chance, but a lot of times she comes through. You know, I mean, Joanna kind of made her look stupid, but Joanna made a lot of people look stupid. You know what I mean? At the time, no one knew how good Joanna really was. But I think Carla's figuring her own game out, and I really think that she's probably, even though she lost the Gadelha fight, I think that she built a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I think so too. I think
someone like that.
Yeah, Cody Stamann versus Aljamain.
Gotta go with Aljo, man.
Yeah, I thought Cody lost to Caraway too. I was at that fight, and
yeah.
I think Aljo wins too. John Dodson versus Jimmy Rivera.
I'm gonna go with Dodson. That dude's good, man. I like him a lot too, but he's just fast and he's tricky. It's hard to get a hold of, you know. And I don't know, man. Jimmy Rivera is a really tough dude, but he's coming off a knockout, and Dodson's a tough guy to come into a fight with.
He hits so hard. It's Charles Byrd versus Darren Stewart.
Stewart. I don't know a lot about either one of those guys.
Me neither. Diego Lionheart Sanchez against Craig White.
I don't know anything about his opponent, but I'm gonna go with Diego.
Yeah, are you and Diego cool now?
Yeah, we're cool. We're cool. We've hung out and talked over it a couple times.
Okay. Good. Jim,
but he's the nightmare.
He's the nightmare. Good. Yeah. That was his best one. Jim Miller versus Alex White.
Jim Miller.
Ooh.
Alex White is, God damn, that dude is tough, man. He is tough as fuck. But he's not necessarily the most skilled guy in the world. And I think Jim Miller's equally as tough, just better. He's just more technical, I think.
You're always picking all the OGs. I like it. You're going for the old school.
Well, honestly, when I put my bet in for the weekend, I actually picked a five-teamer of all underdogs.
Oh, nice. Irene Aldana versus Lucy Pulidilova.
I don't know.
Next one, Jared Brooks versus Roberto Sanchez, the monkey god. Knocked himself out his last fight.
Who did?
The Jared Brooks. He was fighting Shorty Torres, remember? And he knocked himself out.
Oh, yeah. And who's he fighting?
Roberto Sanchez. Who looks like Jesus. I don't know who he is either, but so.
Let's go. No, I don't know who that guy is, but I'm going to pick Jared Brooks.
Yeah, you have to. I like the monkey god. Yeah, he's a good fighter. He just got caught. I mean, have you ever knocked yourself out?
Yeah, in training. Well, not knocked myself out, but I've rocked myself before.
And what like?
I was actually shooting a takedown.
Really?
It was weird. Like with my head on the inside, and it was I don't know. It was just like kinked my neck kind of weird, and like I just like went all numb for a second. It was weird.
Now, are you still going to compete in those submission grappling tournaments?
Yeah, as long as I can get some time. I just haven't had much time in between fights since then. I'd like to get a rematch with homeboy.
Yeah. You were doing good in that. I think until you got caught.
I was totally dominating him on top. Not dominating, but I was definitely controlling him. And then someone in the crowd said something like I thought it was the time. So I thought someone just was giving the time. And they said 30 seconds. So then, like, probably 10 or 15 seconds go by, and he jumps that triangle. And instead of there's a big difference in defending or resisting when it comes to submissions.
Yeah.
So I was just resisting, thinking, like, there's probably only got to be, like, 13 or 14 seconds left. Whoever had said the time, it was, like, a minute 30. So I guess I missed the minute part. So I was still a minute in, and by the time I just realized that I didn't have enough time, it was already too late, and he's quick, man. He's good. He's really, really good. But I think it was more my mistake than him just kind of. It's not like he trapped me or tricked me. You know, I kind of fucked myself.
No, I know when you lose a fight, you get like super bombed. Obviously, you know, you take it to heart. You think, what could I have done better? When you lose a submission grappling event, do you take it to heart? Do you really get upset, or are you just like, this is all kind of new to me. Who cares?
Well, I mean, I was definitely disappointed, but at the end of the day, I loved jiu-jitsu and it was fun. The experience was cool. And he was a decent dude, man. I mean, he's kind of a fucking clown every once in a while, even still, like he'll hit me up like on Instagram, like, "Hey man, good luck." And then like, you'll go to his Instagram. He's like, "Man, I beat that dude's ass." You know, like, he's a funny dude, man. And he's kind of a character. So, I mean, it was fun. The whole idea was fun.
But I mean, but you also have to know in a fight you would murder that guy. So that's what I'm saying. Is it kind of like, okay, beat me in jiu-jitsu, but if this was a real fight, I would have killed you.
Right. And I think he knows that as well. So as long as he knows it, then I'm good with it, man. He caught me. You know, I made a mistake. He took advantage of it. And eventually we'll run into each other again.
I know we had Phil Baroni on Monday. He's looking for an opponent. In any kind of EBI or submission grappling, fair warning. I'm not sure if he's taking substances or not. I believe he's on. You know,
he needs to take them all.
So,
can you imagine what Phil Baroni would look like without steroids?
So would you accept his challenge?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So you heard it here, guys. Anthony Smith versus Phil Baroni. And now he wants to do that like grappling with like strikes where you could like smack people in the head with that.
Oh man, that's what he wants. He wants that.
Yeah, that's what he wants.
With me?
With anybody? He says he'll take anyone in the world.
Man.
No, not you.
Oh,
I mean, you're in the anybody category. Like he said,
right?
Man.
I mean, yes, absolutely. I would definitely do that, but I would feel so terrible about it afterwards.
Why? He says he's the bear. He's the. I mean, according to him, jiu-jitsu is a bunch of.
I know, but I'm a Phil Baroni fan. I would. Yeah. Well, you want me to spend 10 minutes bitch slapping him? That'd be terrible.
Now he's fighting Chris Lieben in bare knuckle boxing, in four weeks. Who do you think is gonna win that?
I'll watch that shit. I will watch that. Probably Chris Lieben. That guy, he's like a superhero of chins.
So you think he'll beat Phil Baroni in bare knuckle boxing?
He's huge. Yeah, I think he'll beat Phil in a bare knuckle boxing. He should.
I don't know, man. Especially if they're not testing. You know, this is a different.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Phil's got. Well, I don't know. Phil must have the same connection as John Jones. That shit. He's got the good shit.
Now Chuck versus Tito are fighting November. I think November in. In the LA Forum. Who do you think wins that one?
Damn, Tito. I'd imagine. You see that video of Chuck Liddell hitting Pat?
It wasn't very good.
Oh my God! It was sad.
No,
I just wish it wasn't happening.
So do I. No, I heard De La Hoya yesterday on he was on Luke Thomas's show talk about how he's trying to build superstars, which is like kind of weird that that he does it with this. But he says he wants to get MMA fighters paid more, which is why he's doing this. Do you think that's actually true?
No, no. I think that he's in a dick swinging competition with Dana White and. I think he's in an argument with Dana White that Dana White's not involved in. You know what I mean? I don't think that Dana really gives a shit about anything that De La Hoya does. For some reason, Oscar thinks that Dana says.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. And he's not going to pull in. There's no way Oscar De La Hoya is going to pull any big names out of the UFC. It's just not going to happen.
Well, they got Gleison Tibau. He's on the undercard. But I'm not sure.
Like I said, they're not going to pull any big names out of the UFC.
No,
I like Gleason. He was around for a long time, but he didn't really beat anybody significant, and he failed for steroids. So, I mean,
yeah,
there's a reason he's not in the UFC anymore, you know?
Of course. McGregor versus Khabib.
But like, you're not gonna get any guys that are, like, how they pull, how Bellator pulls over, like, relevant big-name dudes.
Like Rory McDonald, or...
No one's going to leave the UFC. Yeah, no one's going to leave the UFC to go to this unknown thing that Oscar De La Hoya has going on. Unless those checks are really, really fat. But I just don't see that, you know?
Well, Phil Baroni turned it down to do bare knuckle boxing. So just so you know, that might show you how much you're actually.
Man, I heard today Chris Lieben was getting paid like $100,000 to do that bare knuckle boxing.
That can't be true. You think that's true?
I don't know. I mean, it got Chris Lieben out of bed, so I mean, maybe.
I mean, you don't want to fuck over bare knuckle boxers. You know, those, you don't bounce checks on them like those guys. So whatever they say they're getting paid, they're probably getting paid.
probably. So I mean, good for them. I mean, definitely good for Chris Lieben. I mean,
yeah.
Fucking get it if you can. Get it if you can. You know, I just didn't know that they had money like that.
Khabib versus McGregor. Who do we like in that?
Fuck, man. Well, I'm gonna go with McGregor. I think Khabib is obviously the better fighter overall. I think he's more skilled in more areas, but I think that his biggest hole is Conor's biggest strength, and that's not even a striking. It's the distance management. Khabib is awful at managing distance. He takes a lot of shots on his way in. His entries are sloppy, and Conor dominates everybody in that middle range and in their entries and exits, and he manages the distance better than anybody in the world, and he's accurate. So I don't think Khabib's ever had to deal with someone who can manage the distance as well as Conor does.
I know.
If you go back and watch Conor fight and ignore the punches and the kicks and all that bullshit and watch people's reaction to how Conor moves, it's not even so much his movement, it's the distance that he fights them from. You know, like you can almost watch it and tell that they feel like they're safe, and then one step is all it takes, and Conor is wobbling people. You know what I mean? I do that a lot. Like, I'll go back and watch different fights, and I'll watch things other than what most people would be watching. And you go watch Conor fight and just ignore the punches and the kicks and watch how people react to the way that he moves. People are lost when they're in front of him.
My friend said I was at AKA last week, though. Khabib was going against Luke Rockhold, and it was very, very competitive, if not even, and that they brought in Rockhold back, I guess, to kind of emulate what Conor does. You think that could really help?
Yeah, definitely could. Definitely dealing with – that's about the only thing you can do to try to get better at managing that distance is bring in someone that's extremely long and tall and instead of, because you can't find anyone that moves like Conor or that manages distance like that. The only way you can make up that ground is to find someone that's long, so that them being long almost emulates that distance change.
Right.
So it's a good idea. It's a really good idea.
And it's like, I want Khabib to win just like on pure heart and like who I like is better as a person, who I think's a better human being. But
right.
But I don't, you know, but I just worry that Khabib keeps his chin straight up and that Conor hits harder than everybody else in that division. And it's almost like when girls are like, oh, I'm fighting Cyborg. And I always talk to him. I go, she hits so hard. Oh, well, I train with guys and that hit really hard too. And then after the fight, it's like, I've never been hit that hard in my life. It's the same.
It's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. Like, hey, that. Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, this happened
people
with Leslie Smith.
People did the same thing with Hector. They said, hey, man, he hits really, really hard. And then I'm that dumb chick. Like, I've been hit hard before. And then after the fight, even though I won the fight, I'm in the back. Like, Jesus Christ, I got hit hard.
Yeah, yeah. And Hector's got another fight coming up, which I'm happy for. He's fighting.
Who's he fighting?
I think he's fighting. I want to say Thiago Santos. I think.
No, Thiago's fighting. Remember, he bumped up to 205.
All right. So let me see. Hector Lombard is fighting someone. He's fighting. Hold on. Let me go. I happen to like Hector a lot. He gets a bad rap, and people like talk a lot of shit about him. But I don't know. Hector's always been like a really good guy to me, and
right,
which is all I can really base it on. But yeah, hold on. Hector Lombard is fighting. Hold on. But, you know, they keep guys, you know, Hector hasn't been that successful in his last couple fights, but they keep him around, you know? And I think it's because.
Right. He's popular.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
even if he's losing, it's exciting.
He's fighting Talos Latus.
Oh, he's going to beat Talos Latus' ass.
He will, right?
He should. Yeah, he definitely should.
And that's next Saturday.
Strike him, and I don't know anybody. I wonder how many takedowns. I wonder how many takedowns Hector Lombard's given up in his career.
Not many.
I bet it's less than five.
I mean, Hector's one of those guys that, like, he also imagine he was in the UFC during his prime. You know, I think that he would have a lot more fans, or people would really get behind him, because there was a while when he went on that like 18 fight winning streak, where he was just murdering
all by
people.
Knockout.
Yeah. Just fucking crazy. Last pick, Fedor or Chael? Who do you think wins that one?
Chael.
Really? Why?
My main man. Yeah, my main man, Chael. Because it doesn't matter who Chael's fighting. I'm always picking Chael.
But I think he also has a legitimate shot of beating Fedor in this one. I mean, Fedor has not looked very good his last. Is that even
no,
the fight with?
And Chael's got the he's got the takedown threat, which is going to slow Fedor's striking down. It has to. If he doesn't respect the fact that Chael's a dominant wrestler, he's just going to get taken down with ease. And I think Chael's takedown threat is what makes him so dangerous. He doesn't even have to take you down. That's what I was getting at earlier. If you just know that he can, it matters, you know? So I think that Chael's going to slow Fedor down. I think that he's, like you said, Fedor hasn't looked great. And, you know, I think Chael's going to clinch him and weigh on him and be heavy and drag him into deep water, and I think that's how it goes.
Which would be crazy, because then we got Bader versus Mitrione.
I'd say Mitrione all day.
But if Bader wins, then it's Chael versus Bader for the heavyweight Bellator championship.
Yeah, right, which is crazy.
Well, two guys that could fight at 85 are now the heavyweight champion, which is not even 205ers, like 85ers.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. Well, listen, Anthony Smith, good luck in your upcoming fight, main event. Tell us when it is, where you can watch it, what's going on.
It's the main event of UFC Fight Night in Moncton, Canada, October 27th. And you guys can follow me on my social media. My Twitter is at Lionheart Smith, and my Instagram is Anthony Smith UFC. So tune in, check it out. I think it's going to be a barn burner, and I think it's going to be another exciting finish.
Well, thank you for everything, brother.
Thanks a lot, man.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Lionheart. Listen, people, sexual performance issues, a lot more common than you think. Over 25% of new ED cases are guys under the age of 40. That's most of our listeners. You guys are young and not getting it up. I'm telling you, that's not a good thing. And over 40% of men by age 40 to struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection. That's the worst. You get a girl or a guy, you're excited. You're like, oh, this is going to be a great night. I'm going to have sex. I finally am going to get laid. And boom, nothing. Ugh. And why do guys turn to weird and solutions or do nothing? They can turn to medicine and science. Come on, people. 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. They connect you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat erectile dysfunction. I'm telling you, well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you combat ED. ED can come. It comes, and all of a sudden, your penis is like, ugh. Well, now 4hims got you covered. It's erectile without a dysfunction. It's hard made easy. Say hello to your little friend. Go to Hims for a month. But you can try it for a month for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/MMAroasted. That's MMA Roast ED. That's forhims.com/MMAroastED. 4hims.com/MMAroastED. Okay, so we are talking to Rachel Blaze. And Rachel is a former ring girl. She's a MMA. She's into the MMA scene. Hello, this is Rachel Blaze.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. So I was saying, I was looking you up. You were a ring girl / radio host. / you do a lot for the kids, for MMA kids. Talk to me. What exactly do you do?
Well, I'm a media personality. I've been in the business for a little over, gosh, it's been over 10 years.
Wow.
Now I'm into more modeling and acting and obviously, yeah. So it's been a long ride. Yeah, I started off as a ring girl, didn't really particularly care for it. Thought that there was something more I could do, and voila, it was. So it turned into developing a nonprofit for children and fighters. So fighters' rights.
Nice. That's very nice of you. Yeah, I saw that you had like, because I Googled your name, and then all these hot pictures came up of you with your, with your great body, and then it said that you were trying to do things for the kids, that you were trying to. Now, do you like walk around and then they like see you and then they get hot and then try to beat up their friends or something? Is that what happens?
I don't think so. I hope not.
Oh.
I don't want anybody beating up anybody's friends, but it's a possibility.
Oh, okay.
So, kids are awesome. Kids are awesome.
Now, of course. And now, now we're talking. It's a serious matter. So what I read about is that you got breast implants about 10 years ago. Which looked,
yes.
And then since then it was some kind of a horrible surgery. You've been sick. You feel like you're going to die. You have rashes. You're gaining weight. Just horrible things have been happening since your breast implants.
Yes. Yes. Actually, it's been 11 years. I didn't really put two and two together and realize that I was reacting to them right away after I had surgery. So it wasn't until probably about 7-8 years ago when I got really, really sick, 25 doctors later, we could not figure out what was going on. I had high inflammation, all these different symptoms have arisen, and never could correlate that it was the breast implant until a year ago when I was approached by a woman on Facebook who asked me if I had breast implants, and I said, yes, I do. Referred me to a huge group now. Back then when I joined the group, Healing Breast Implant Illness for Nicole, her group was at 23,000 women. Today, it's over 50,000 women. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be real honest. In the very, very beginning, I was in complete denial that my breast implants were making me sick. Just obviously, if we think that the FDA has them approved, surgeons are advocating for them, you want to believe and think that they are completely safe. Come to my knowledge and all the research and all the reports from pathology, it tells you that they are finding silicone particles in women's bodies, lymph nodes, breast milk, and that babies who are nursing from their mothers who have breast implants are also infected with silicone in their system.
Well, that's not good, because my wife has implants and she's breastfeeding. But they told her that the doctor said it's fine. So you're saying it's not good?
Exactly. No, it is not good. It is now, if you look on Nicole's website, she has pathology reports that now tells us a different story. But we've learned that the FDA and most of the breast implant, in fact, all of the breast implant companies have withheld certain studies. In fact, they only were doing short-term studies when they should have been doing long-term studies, and the FDA accepted it as that. But now there are so much documentation. Breast implants aren't rupturing in women's bodies. They are disintegrating. They are melting in women's bodies.
This is not good. So we're trying to get your tits off you, right? Basically, like we're trying to get your boobs away.
Yes, I. Right now, there is a GoFundMe. We had a T-shirt campaign with Grinstyle that ended yesterday. Right now, there's a GoFundMe to raise funds to have the surgery. It is not a cheap surgery. You have to go to. There's only probably about a handful of specialists that only do an explant surgery. When they do the explant, they have to remove the scar tissue, which is the capsule around the implant. Otherwise, if they don't, you're going to remain sick. And when they're finding out when they go into the surgery and they're removing these breast implants, they have grown into the rib cage. They have to now scrape the rib cage to get them removed appropriately. If they don't remove them with the whole capsule and the whole implant, and if you get a surgeon that says, oh, we'll just pop it and then we'll just take it out then. No, you don't want a surgeon to do that, because now you have all of those chemicals, which are over 40 toxic chemicals that are leaking into your body.
So how much is this surgery?
Dr. Chun is about $15,000, and he is in California. This is not something that I had expected or anticipated, because when I got my breasts done, I was told, oh, your breasts will be just fine. If you have a rupture, then that's when you need to have them replaced. There was nothing ever told to me that you could develop any type of autoimmune diseases, rashes, or you could be sick. We've lost over 250 women to breast implant illness. We just lost a baby who was breastfeeding with her, you know, obviously with her mom, and doing the pathology test results on the baby, they found silicone in the baby system.
All right. So how much have we raised so far for your breast removal?
Right now on my GoFundMe, we're at $2,500, just about $2,500.
Okay. And then with the t-shirts?
The t-shirts, if all goes well and Grinstyle honors what they said, it would be about $2,500.
All right, so we need $10,000 left. Now your insurance doesn't cover this?
No, insurance does not cover it. The reason why is it is an elective surgery. They do not recognize breast implant illness as an illness, along with the medical field, because I've been trying to get all of my doctors to declare it a medical emergency, but because it's not in their medical journal, they don't recognize it as breast implant illness. So the majority of like your holistic naturopath doctors, oh yes, they'll tell you a completely total different story and tell you, yes, those are dangerous. You need to get them out. However, I just released an article on the FCA from the Huffington Post, who just said that the FCA declared that all breast implants are considered dangerous.
Now, do you think that guys, they're not listing it as a real illness because people like looking at them?
Yes, I get that all the time. Or you get the egotistical man that says, well, you're the dumbass that put them in you.
Right.
Well, that's not fair.
No.
I mean, everybody makes mistakes. And I'm a pretty intelligent person. And I think that I made a sound decision by going with saline implants, but not knowing that the outside, the outer shell, was made out of silicone. Well, we all know that silicone disintegrates. It will melt. It's not technically supposed to be in a woman's body or anybody's, because obviously you've got cheek implants, foot implants, calf implants, men are getting implants. They're all dangerous. They're all medical devices that have not been completely run through the course of testing. And that's the sad part, is what we're finding out with, like, companies such as Allergan. I filed a complaint with the FDA. The FDA sent the information to Allergan, which is a breast implant company. I have the letter to this day. Allergan sent me a demand letter telling me I need to return my breast implant as soon as I have surgery. Now, tell me why a breast implant company wants my breast implant, because they don't want me to file a lawsuit, which I plan on doing after I have my surgery.
Right. So, okay. All right. So we need $10,000 to get these boobs removed. And then you're on a, now you're warning people about the dangers of them.
Absolutely. I've lost followers because I come out with my story. I've had people criticize me, judge me. It's not going to stop me, because you know what? I have a daughter that's 15, and I don't want young daughters. All of us have daughters at some point, or know somebody, a young woman, are getting breast implants at 18 and 17 years old. Parents are buying breast implants for their kids.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah, my daughter's not getting them until she's at least 20. And no, I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm joking. But go on.
It's awful. And now there are more natural remedies like fat transfer, so they can suck all the fat out of your body and stick them in your boobs. And now you have these nice voluptuous boobs, but with the fat transfer, you have to do it multiple times. So it's not just, and it's about $25,000 for a breast, for a fat transfer.
Yeah, I've never been more. Look, I like boobs, whether they're small, big, huge. It's just,
yeah.
I'm more of a face guy anyway, because boobs come and go, but like the face is really what I'm more of a face guy.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, yes, they do. And I agree with you. We have such, right now, there's such this body image that big boobs are going to get you this big modeling career, which is what I was told, and that, you know, was not necessarily the case. People think that boobs are going to get you all these likes and all of these. It's going to attract the wrong people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. These boobs are heavy. They're heavy. They hurt my back. They hurt my shoulders. They are not fun. You may like it when you're younger, and then when you get a little bit older, you're just like, oh my God, I'm so done, because now you're spending over $100 for bras. You are now having indentations in your shoulders from your big boobs.
Yeah, and then how often do you even titty bang anyway? I mean, I probably got it 3 times my whole life. You know, it's a, people think, oh, you could like titty bang if you have implants, but not really, because they're kind of stiff anyway. You have to kind of,
oh, yeah. There's all kinds of things you could do, but honestly, those are made out of silicone too, and I would not want anything silicone next to my body at all.
Right, right.
And I'm actually probably going to do a video with like a silicone, and I'm going to put a silicone in a sandwich and ask them, are you going to eat this? Because this is basically what we are eating inside our bodies.
That's disgusting. That's horrible.
And if you heat it up to a certain temperature, it's going to melt. And even our body temperatures are much higher than an average, if you're going to heat it up like you're going to cook it.
Yeah.
Our body
yeah.
temperatures are hotter.
Yeah, I would never cook
it,
anyone's tits.
No, go ahead.
So what
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, I know. So I'm just like.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm hoping that I'm spreading enough awareness. I've had women inbox me and say, oh my God, I have 28 of those symptoms. I had no idea.
Wait, so what are some of these symptoms? Like, what are some of these symptoms that you have?
oh my gosh, I have hair loss. I have skin rashes. I have burning from the inside out of my body. I had a mini stroke. I've had staph infections. I've had sinus surgery because my sinuses are inflamed and full of staph infections. I've had eye infections, swelling of the face, swelling of the body, hormonal issues. A lot of women are experiencing infertility, can't get pregnant while they have implants.
Oh, my God. That's like a typical Thursday for Phil Baroni, by the way, all these symptoms. But go on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've been diagnosed with lupus. We thought it was lupus, and then the labs have returned to somewhat normal. So I'm not, oh, my gosh. I can tell you that I became a drug pharmacy at my house. In fact, I'm going to take a picture of all the medications that all these different specialists put me on. It's crazy. I finally said, I've had enough. It's not working. I'm not taking anything. I get muscle aches, joint aches. They want to shove opiates and narcotics down my throat. And I'm like, absolutely not. Give me CBD oil. Give me some marijuana. Look, I'm not an advocate for it, but I'm at the point where I'm not going to become addicted to your pills.
Of course.
And so it's excruciating pain. There are good days where I could put on makeup and look somewhat normal. And I'm like, but wait, you don't look like you're sick. I have an internal war going on inside my body. I'm in constant pain. Joints get stiff. You almost feel like you're a 90 or 100-year-old woman.
Oh, it's like Hendo. Let's go on.
Right. And I'm nowhere even near that or even remotely close to that. So at the time of my life or at this moment, I should be jumping all over the place.
Yeah,
and the prime of my life. And no, I spend the majority of my time in bed. I'm chronically fatigued. I barely can, you know, take care of my daughter. So things are, it's hard. And I was, right before I got really sick, let's just go a little way back before I got breast implants. I was 117 pounds, 10% body fat. I worked out in the gym. I was athletic-wise. I was doing some training. And boom, I went to a modeling agency. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to do this. And they're like, oh, no, your breasts are ill-proportional. And you're like, well, what does that mean? Well, you're not going to get too many modeling jumps because your breasts are not, bam, you know? So what did I do? I did my research. I went to 17 different surgeons, finally picked one, had my breast done, got modeling gigs and thought life was great. And then all of a sudden, life wasn't so great anymore. I've lost over 7 years of my life
now,
that I cannot get back. And so now I'm trying to turn this into a positive by helping other women and young ladies with body positive images of themselves.
Yes.
Honestly,
yes.
I want J-Lo boobs. I want cute little small little boobs.
Yeah.
I do not want big boobs. I want none of that.
Well, listen, we have to help, guys. We have to get rid of your tits. So, guys, where can people give money so you could lose these boobs? Because they're obviously, the tatas are getting in the way. These fun bags, no good. These are non-fun bags. How could we get rid of them?
I'm sorry, what was your question, Adam?
How can we help get rid of your fun bags or non-fun bags?
Oh my goodness, GoFundMe. So when you post the link to the show, I will go ahead or I can send you a link to my GoFundMe. And with that, anybody can donate. I have a PayPal account if you want to donate to my PayPal. Some people want to privately donate. And so I offer my PayPal account if that is their choice. It's a little more expensive. If I fly out to California, I have to stay there for 2 weeks. I will have drains in my breast, which means I'll have to be in a hotel. I'll have to eat. I have to get to and from the doctor. And then I have to fly home. So I'm trying to pick up those costs myself.
Well, we have a co-host named, I'm sure there's a guy named Ween Dog who's our co-host. He'd probably have you stay with him and his parents if you want. He's a little freaky.
That would be awesome. I'm super hilarious to get along with. I'm a comedian myself. So.
Oh, good. Well, Ween Dog will love you. He's a really, really nice guy. He's into some great things. He's not creepy at all. So, yeah, I think you and Ween Dog.
That would be so amazing. Yeah, the GoFundMe, I'll send you the link, Adam. It's under Rachel Blaze, RachaelBlaze. The total amount that we needed to raise is $15,000. And we're going to go from there and we're going to keep plugging. But if I don't get the surgery, the end result is not a good one. It is not a positive one. My daughter only has known me for her 15 years of life, and I don't know what would happen to my daughter if I didn't make it. So that is the end result.
Well, we're going to help. Roasted fans, listen, help this girl. She's a really good for. She's a good person. She contributed a lot to mixed martial arts. She helps inspire kids, helps train people. You've banged a couple fighters, right?
I have not. I have not. I have consulted with fighters and helped them fight for their rights.
Oh, okay, so you've never slept with any of the guys? I heard you and CM Punk used to date or anything. No.
No. Art Davey actually helped me start this Save a Life promotion for breast implant illness. So Art Davey has a huge part of this, just as I do, and he's been an amazing support person. If anybody knows who Art Davey is, I know you know.
Of course,
who
Art Davey's one of the founders of the UFC.
Absolutely, and he just got into the Hall of Fame, finally,
yes.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
But I wanted you to know that Art Davey is a huge support system for me, and he helped me get the strength to do it, because I was like, oh my God, I don't think I could go public with this. But I got the strength, and I did it, and it is what it is, and now I'm saving lives.
Good. Rachel, you're a great woman, and you're super hot. Google Rachel Blaze. Make sure you cover the boobs because you don't want to look at those since it's causing all the pain. But just make sure you check her out. She's a hot, fiery redhead. Great waist. Good body. Great body, right? Beautiful face.
Yes.
Yeah, very hot girl. Have you ever hooked up with any fighters? Or dated any fighters?
No, actually, I'm going to be real honest. I did not want to mix business with pleasure. And considering the fact that fighters were my business, I had no interest in dating any fighters at all.
All right.
Did not mix that with my job.
Good. Don't. Especially Bilal Muhammad. He's a very thirsty guy. That guy. No, I'm kidding. He's a nice guy.
Oh no.
I'm kidding. I love Bilal Muhammad. Anyway, listen. Thank you, Rachel. This link will be up later tonight. Keep up the good fight. Let me know if you need anything. We'll have you back on, and hopefully you'll get rid of these tits soon.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Adam. I appreciate being on your show.
Anytime, Rachel. Okay, listen, people. Thank you, Rachel Blaze. Thank you, Lionheart Smith. If you want to advertise on the podcast, which includes Twitter shout-outs to over 73,000 people, hit me up, adamhuntercomedy@gmail.com. I will take care of it. We'll talk about it. AdamHunterComedy@gmail.com. Advertise your business, your brand, your event coming up. Also, if you want to see me do comedy, I'll be at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's tonight, Friday, and Saturday, the 8th, and Sunday, the 9th. Also at the Dime Bar every Monday and Tuesday in L.A. I'm at the Carson Comedy Club in Rochester, New York with Jeremy Piven, September 20th and 21st. Laugh Lines in Vancouver, September 28th and 29th. The Funny Bone in Des Moines, October 5th to the 6th and 7th. Also, I'm at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids, October 12th. Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, October 10th. And I'm at the Kansas City Improv, October 15th. And then the Looney Bin and Looney Bin Saloon in Miami, Oklahoma, October 26th and 27th, and in Laughlin at the Edgewater Casino, November 2nd. Also, if you shop on Amazon, go to adamhunter.comedy, go to adamhunter.com first, click on the Amazon link, and then get whatever you need. So if you shop on Amazon, which most of you guys do, just go to my link, adamhunter.com, click on the Amazon link, and then go right to, and it takes 3 seconds, and you'll be helping out the podcast, helping out me, helping out just life in general. Thank you guys so much. November 30th, I'm at the South Point Casino, also in Las Vegas. And then that whole New Year's Eve, I will be at the Stratosphere, December 24th to December 30th at the Las Vegas Stratosphere. Yes. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thank you so much. Take care, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Trap, don't
түүний сонсдог хөгжим дөр бол лаа. Даа дөр столтан дөр бол амор лаа.